Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're going to be taking a look at child trafficking, Joe, here in the United States. And I know that Phil with Freedom, Sound of Freedom, that was referring to what was taking place outside the country. But here, what's taking place inside the country. And we're going to have Gerald Hudson, along with Steve Bannon and others, on human trafficking. So go ahead and take it away.
Sound of Freedom. Obviously, now it's internationally. This weekend they went down to Nicaragua. We're going to have Eduardo on, hopefully tomorrow, the next day, and Jim Caviezel. This thing is exploding, but there's a deeper story here, and I want to get. There's a fantastic site. One of the leaders of is a guy that worked for me at Breitbart, Jeff Poor, and he had worked for Tucker before at Daily Caller. So this guy is very well trained. Jeff Poor is a rock star. They have a great site down in Alabama, a new site. Called 1819 News, which is the when Alabama was came into the Union as a state. Fantastic site. And they had an incredible piece up there about a guy named Jared Hudson, a former Navy SEAL, and about his efforts to stop child trafficking. How bad is this epidemic or pandemic throughout the world, Jared? How bad is it? And although Sound of Freedom shows you one aspect of it and it shocked people, it's a much deeper problem than that, sir.
No, it is. And I appreciate you having me on. But real quick, with the Sound of Freedom, you really see the overseas piece, which we've seen and dealt with. I was actually talking with Tim Ballard, who the Sound of Freedom was kind of about, and he kind of helped with that this weekend. And one of the big initiatives that we're working toward now and that our organization's working toward and I've been working toward as a law enforcement officer is the stateside human trafficking piece. So it's the same type of problem. It's just it looks a little bit different here in the United States of America than it does in Haiti or Africa or, you know, any of the other South American countries that you might run into.
Tell me about that. What's the difference and how big? I mean, it's a $150 billion business, and the demand side of the equation is the United States, which is a disgrace that that's happening. But what's the difference in the stateside part of this human trafficking and torture and rape of small children, sir?
Yeah, so it's a lot of times it's a political narrative where, you know, I have a sheriff or a mayor, somebody in local government, they'll push this big anti-human trafficking push, and they'll say we arrested 60 in a human trafficking sting. But in reality, it's prostitution, it's drug related. And not that people are not trafficked in prostitution, but oftentimes what we see is that is a that's almost a political type of operation. What we really like to go after and target is child exploitation. These are kids that are being sold primarily for sex stateside. You still have labor trafficking. You still have that. But we look for child exploitation, kids who are being sold for sex, whether you're going after someone who is the consumer, which is the easiest way to target bad guys in the U.S., you go after the consumer, or you go after those who are actually selling kids. And then on the federal side, there's the child porn production. That would be ICAC, Internet Crimes Against Children, that the FBI pushes on the HSI side, the Homeland Security side, which is what I work on a lot. Just any child exploitation, whether it's missing children or children that are being used to produce and then they distribute pornography for children. So a lot of it's related to how well we're tied together with these electronic devices, cell phones, computers, emails, not just dark web, but, you know, normal web and deep web as well. So that's kind of what you see. That's what kind of that's what we see here stateside as opposed to overseas. An evil government will go in, run a village down, snatch a bunch of kids, and then sell them to support themselves, like you see in the movies a lot of times.
When you say here, is this just random people who are psychotic and bad people, or is this more organized? When you say the trafficking and exploitation for sex of children, is this just a random occurrence, or is this more organized?
No, I would say it's definitely more organized than we probably like to admit. Now, the good thing about our nation is we have laws and things in place that help protect anybody being accused of anything, right? Now, they don't always work perfectly, But that's a lot of times the red tape that you have to wade through to be able to properly target, arrest, and then prosecute individuals who are going after kids. Most of the time when we see, when we roll up bad guys that are buying kids for sex, or we find somebody selling kids, most of the time the individuals we're getting are somebody who's a person of trust. Like, we just recently supported an agency with some of what we do where they arrested a doctor. This doctor was arrested on state charge of human trafficking, one, transmitting obscene material to a child, soliciting a child for sex, and traveling to meet a child for sex. So he was showing it for a 14-year-old girl. He was a doctor. So that's what they consider a person of trust, and it wasn't his first time to do this either. So it's not like there's this huge underworld, you know, like you see in the movie John Wick, the underworld of assassins. There's this underworld of people trafficking kids that we see. However, there are it's normally people in positions of trust who you don't expect. Does that make sense? I guess.
Yeah, when you talk about the exploitation of children for sex, you've seen the damage done. Do you believe this should be – President Trump has made this big effort about making it a capital crime for the trafficking aspect of it. Do you think that also it ought to be a capital crime on the demand side of the equation? Because these crimes are so horrific, we can't even show it – or it's very hard to even show it or imply it what happens on here on TV. Should this be a capital crime?
100%. I mean, it's – so you've got the federal side and – really what the feds work toward would be that they have some teeth to would be the child porn production and distribution. And then each state has different laws, and it's easier to go into a state and make a state case that then the federal side can potentially adopt if it's a good state case, you know, down the road. So if you had something that could cover it all, so you didn't have to jump through 15 hoops, for instance, in the state of Alabama where I'm at, human trafficking, one, is a charge, soliciting a minor for sex, traveling to meet a minor for sex if they show up, and then, you know, any list of things that are under the Alabama State Code, Title 13A, for crimes against children. Then the federal side is a little bit different than that, but then we go to the state of Indiana or we go to Oklahoma. I've been talking with a buddy at the AG's office in Oklahoma, and the charges are different per state, so it makes it a little more difficult to meet the statutes in each state to actually be able to roll up folks who are selling kids for sex and who are buying kids for sex. So, yeah, if you had a blanket thing that made this capital punishment across the board, especially on the federal side, that would help tremendously.
When we talk about selling kids for rape, torture, and for sex, are these foreigners? Or you're saying that these are citizens of this country, American citizens, are doing this to children?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, one thing that we have seen is with the border situation being the way it is, we've seen an uptick in illegal immigrants showing up to purchase kids for sex. So we have seen that over the last year and a half, I guess, about 18 months. However, to be honest with you, man, it could be somebody is – I mean, if you have 10 guys standing beside each other, men and women standing around each other, statistically what we've seen is two of them are gonna be tied into this some shape, form, or fashion. Now, one thing we do see is when impoverished, right, a poverty-based thing, a lot of times related to drugs, and this is tied to prostitution, you'll see kids being sold for sex by their parents or their caretakers. So it's not like they've been stolen. They're being sold by a caretaker.
I tell you, Jared, hang on for 1 second. We're going to hold you through the break. Petty Officer First Class Jared Hudson, you gave 8 years of your life to your country and her service. Now you've taken a different path. Real quickly, because we're pressed for time, why have you decided to dedicate your life to eradicating the scourge of the trafficking of children for rape, torture, and sex, sir?
Well, in short, I'm a Christian man. I believe Jesus died on the cross, rose again on the third day for my sins and everybody else's. And as a Christian, I believe that we're called to we are called in Scripture to defend the oppressed, the fatherless, the widow, and children who are being victimized are exactly that. So as a Christian man, I'm called to do it. I would leave you with one thing before I tell you our website. Mentioning, hey, how do we fix this problem? You know, is it more laws? Is it you know, stronger laws? That all helps. But parents, this cell phone right here, this device, this gives your kids access to the world and the world access to your kids. Most notorious pedophile of all time was doing an interview. He said he didn't look at anything other than the father. And if the father didn't appear to be a threat, he would target that kid. It wasn't demographic. It wasn't age. It wasn't sex. It was simply, was the father a threat? If you're a parent, be a threat to those who would go after your kids. That's how we fix it. It's that self-reliance of God gave me my kids, not anybody else, and I'm supposed to protect them at all costs. So that would be a way we could start to fix this thing.
Amen. Jared Hudson, how do people follow you on social media?
Just go to covenantrescue.org, and you can look up what we do. And on that, there's going to be a link tree with all the social media. Yeah, you're bringing it up right there. We do training for law enforcement and military all around through my private company, but the nonprofit strictly is based around child exploitation, helping local law enforcement, federal law enforcement properly target bad guys who are getting kids for sex or selling kids for sex.
Petty Officer Hudson, thank you very much for joining us, and thank you very much for dedicating your life to this. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for what you do.
All right. We are back. And here, you know, and you say, well, how could people, let me tell you, how could parents sell their own children? Joe, I can tell you this. If they would bring their children to see drag queens like they did out here when they had it in the United Church of the Antichrist, a satanic church, when they would bring their children to see these drag queens, like what Millie and Austin are trying to do to the military, you know, the drag queens. And by the way, we have another one here today. We'll talk about him in a minute. They would sell their children for sex, because taking them to see these drag queens, that's kind of primal, isn't it?
It is. And also, I hate to say it, but if you look through the internet, you'll see stories of mothers starving children to death, giving their children to boyfriends for sex. So the boyfriend hangs around, gives them money, gives her money and food. Stories of mothers killing their children, drowning their children, burning their children. I'm sorry, there's some of the most horrific things you can think of. You look at something like the London Daily Mail, and you'll see some awfully horrible stuff, and most people don't want to hear about it, don't want to know about it, but it goes on all the time.
I have one of those right here. Here's a story of a woman who killed her 29-week-old baby. 29 weeks, what's that, 4 months? That's 7 months, right? Baby, and then after she killed the baby, she burned the baby's body, and her name was Celeste Burgess of Norfolk, Nebraska. She agreed to plead guilty to removing and concealing and abandoning a dead human body as part of a plea deal in Madison County District Court. That woman murdered that little innocent child, murdered her own little innocent child, and do you know what? Her sentence reduced to 50 days in jail. 50 days in jail. Now, you have an extremely corrupt congressman named Ted Lieu. He is a pro-death, extremely corrupt congressman, pro-death. There's probably not a baby in the world that Ted Lieu would be afraid of. He would fight with any baby, okay? And he tweets that it was outrageous to even want to prosecute her for killing her baby. This is a Democratic, Ted Lieu, pro-death, radical, completely evil. He's got to be from California. Where else do they have those? But anyhow, there you go. So that's an example.
So much sadness. We just, you know, people could just pray for the children, because what does Scripture say? I won't just forget you, I will forget your children also.
Yeah. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Well, you're talking about that. Watch Air Force Academy Superintendent. I watched this say that he supports fellowship for demigender people. But guess what? When he asked what the term means, he didn't know. And so here, Now, listen, I could never. This guy's got 3 stars on his shoulder, but he don't have a head on his shoulder. This guy, Lieutenant General Richard Clark, I'd like to tell Lieutenant General Richard Clark what the biblical definition of a whore is. You say, I would not call you Lieutenant General Richard Clark. I would call you a whore because of what you've done. You have sold out our military. You have sold out our Constitution. You've sold out God and country, and you're a disgrace to that uniform. You're a disgrace to that uniform. I wore that uniform at one time, but I would never wear it now. Okay. Well, he's in the Air Force. I was in the Army. But Representative Matt Gaetz was questioning Clark about the Brooke Owens Fellowship, which is promoted by the Air Force Academy. I would never send one of my men to that Air Force Academy out there today. I would be so ashamed. Like, I'm so ashamed of Lieutenant General Richard Clark.
Well, remember, was it the Naval Academy or the Army that let the Satan Church build a church on the grounds, and they actually had it above the Christian Church?
Let me read this.
Which one.
So Matt Gaetz is asking.
I think it was West Point allowed it, yeah.
Yeah. Matt Gaetz is asking questioning Clark about Brooke Owens Fellowship, which is promoted by the Academy and excludes normal, straight, biological men. See, if you're a normal, straight, biological man, you're excluded, okay? Mm. You have to be some form of being queer. That's what Millie, that's what Austin, and that's what this Lieutenant General Richard Clark, they want their fellow queers in there with them in the military. So you just said, here's what Matt Gaetz says, it's all about the fighting force but you're literally pushing a program in the academies that says if you're a cisgender woman or a transgender woman or a non-binary, agender or a bigender or a two-spirit demigender, what is a demigender, Gaetz asked. Matt Gaetz asked. So clearly unaware of the answer, Clark attempted to dance around the question. Sir,
couldn't answer it.
That's a term of the people that are eligible for the particular scholarship that is available in person. These people, they need to be all tried for treason. Austin, Millie, and they made they ought to be, since they're transgenders, they ought to have to be wear an ugly dress for the rest of their life. I mean, this is just unbelievable.
When you pass rules, regulations, this wasn't a regulation, but a special benefit, and you can't even define one of the terms in it, there's something terribly wrong. It's the illusion. It's like they're doing with Trump. Attorney Mark Levin is a very good attorney, and he came out on his program, and he said, you know, he can't understand why they're going after Trump. They have this grand jury in D.C. because of the documents in Mar-a-Lago. And he said, here it is, the Department of Justice manual. And in the U.S. manual, 9/11, period 12-1, the venue on limitations, right from the menu of their manual. A case should not be presented to a grand jury in a district unless the venue for the offense lies in that district, period. So according to the DOJ's own manual on venue of limitations, they can't be doing this in D.C. because what they're trying to accuse Trump of doing happened in Florida. He didn't do it, but it still was. They're claiming it happened at Mar-a-Lago. So he came out and said Trump's attorney should be filing a motion to dismiss on prosecutorial misconduct and a change of venue because it could only happen in Florida. You'd have to get a Florida grand jury, Florida judges. And, you know, this is the kind of thing going on, and it's amazing. Here's a attorney, he used to be what, assistant to the attorney general or something. I can't remember exactly his position in the Trump administration. But he's been teaching the Constitution, practicing law. And he pulls out the manual, reads right from the department's own manual, and there it is in plain simple English. They can't do what they're doing. And I haven't heard one attorney on TV other than Mark Levin come out and say they can't do this. They need to do file a motion to dismiss.
I actually have a clip of him him saying that, what you're talking about there.
Yeah, and I mean, how many other people have you heard reading from the department's manual, the DOJ's manual? I haven't heard anybody else do it. It just blows my mind, Pastor.
I'm just going to play a minute or two of this here.
All right.
Who are the people that are on this special counsel staff? It's a diabolical web of corruption with Jack Smith at the very center of it. Let's get even, Tom. This is Obama, Holder, Garland, Monaco, Smith. They bring on a whole team of hacks to do what it is that they want to do. And that's what's going on in the investigation of Donald Trump. Who are the people that are on this special counsel staff? Jack Smith. This man is trying to change the results of the election in the Republican primary and in the general election. Who is this guy? Who are his people? Well, right now, Judicial Watch has a lawsuit going because they FOIA'd that question. They want to know all the names of everybody on Jack Smith's staff. Do you know the Department of Justice right now is litigating that and blocking them? So I pulled together everything I could that's public information out there. It's a diabolical web of corruption, with Jack Smith at the very center of it. First of all, let's start at the top. Merrick Garland, of course, as you know, was nominated to the Supreme Court by Obama. Well, he didn't get it. And he's upset about it. Then Biden comes in. He appoints him as Attorney General of the United States. The Deputy Attorney General is somebody by the name of Lisa Monaco. Lisa Monaco has held multiple positions in the Obama administration, Obama-Biden. At the Department of Justice, at the FBI, and National Security, and so forth. So she's the Deputy Attorney General. Now she has an assistant, and he's Associate Deputy Attorney General Marshall Miller. Now, the only reason he's relevant for the purposes of this discussion, it was he who suggested to Monaco that the Attorney General, Garland, appoint Jack Smith as the special counsel. I found one article in which they bragged about this, only one. So you had to dig. That's what I do. So how does Miller know Smith? Miller worked with Smith for many, many years in the U.S. Attorney's Office in Brooklyn. And so, according to Merrick Garland, he didn't even know who Smith was.
So they appoint Jack Smith. I'm going to just stop it right there. We know that, do you remember the Oklahoma bombing, Joe?
Sure do.
And do you remember what it was?
The Murrah Federal Building. Yep.
The Murrah Federal, and that was a false flag operation. Boy, we found so much. In fact, we have a little bit of clip when the Clintonistas, or the Clintonistas clip on that. But it was, again, a false flag operation. We exposed a whole a lot of corruption in that. And guess who was the prosecutor in prosecuting Tim McVeigh, who was set up? Tim McVeigh was a throwaway. They got him set up, and they killed him right away. They wanted to make sure he was dead right away, not to talk.
It was a man named Merrick Garland, I believe.
Garland. Corrupt, absolutely corrupt. I mean, completely and totally corrupt, huh? And he didn't know. He wondered why he was passed over for Supreme Court. Well, it's because of his background, his corruption in his background. But you won't hear that on NBC, ABC, or CBS, will you?
You sure won't. And that little piece that you did on Mark Levin, I've got the entire pages and pages and pages that he puts out, pointing out all these people. It's basically an incestuous family of people who have all worked through one agency there in the Department of Justice. And the ties, everybody working together, working under this person, working with that person. It's if you want to talk about a good old boy network, this is almost more like family incest than a good old boy network. And that's why you can't get anywhere in D.C. I think only 5% of the people in D.C. voted for Trump. Everybody else was a Democrat. And so you've got there's just no way to have a fair court case. That's why they've got to get it out of D.C. and get it back to Florida where it belongs.
You know, it's like you go all the way back in the Bible to where all the corrupt people, they all headed for the cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, but all the cities they wanted. And today it's the same thing. Today, if I wanted to have a life of crime, if I said, you know what, I think I want to be a professional criminal, maybe be able to shoot a couple of kids and get away with it, I would go to Illinois. I'd go to Chicago, Illinois, because in that state, both their governor and the prosecutor, the attorney generals, They're big on crime. Basically, they're advertising, come on out here. If you want to commit crimes, come to Illinois. And that's that's the fact. Speaking of that, here, Biden crime family scandals. This is an article out of the Federalist, and it says that Biden family scandals are so much bigger than Hunter's hookers and Burisma bribery. The scandal was never about Hunter's sordid sex life and drug abuse. It was about Joe Biden's abuse of power and all of the cover-ups. And it goes on to say very quickly, I know we probably just want to do a whole lot of the headlines, but I'm stalling because the pages are stuck together and I'm trying to get them apart. This is what I'm doing.
While you're doing that, you know, we all know that Devin Archer was testifying today, and he came out, I was talking about 20 times that Joe was on the phone. His son was talking business, and Hunter would pick up the phone and call, you know, Joe. And they were trying to say he was just being friendly and talking
about the weather. Nice, he was talking about the weather.
Yeah. Well, we know because I said this last week, there were stories out that when Hunter would talk to Joe, he would introduce the people there, whatever group he was with, he'd introduce them. Joe would say hi, but Joe knew the name of their wives and their name of their children. Now, if this was just about the weather and niceties, that still means that Hunter had to have told his dad ahead of time he was going to be in a meeting. Here are the names of the people, because how else would Joe know the name of a guy from Ukraine or China, his wife, and the name of his children, if he wasn't told by someone? So Hunter had to have pre-contacted Dad, said, I'm going to be with these six people, and here's Mr. Lee, and Mr. Lee is married to Luan, and they have these three children, two boys and a girl, because Biden knew all of this. So right there, again, here we have these people that are supposed to be journalists. And everybody's talking about, oh, there's nothing to it. It was just a big friendly. He called, and the president was being nice to his son. And nobody's reporting this, that Joe had all this information. And it changes everything, knowing that Joe knew the wife and the children's name. It changes the entire scenario, doesn't it?
Right. Here's what
it's called,
says.
Truth.
Right. Representative James Comer reveals 170-plus suspicious activity reports filed by six major banks, J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, on and on, pointing to potential money laundering, human trafficking, and tax fraud. Remember, Joe, we were the first ones. We were the first ones to tell people that the Biden crime family was involved in human trafficking.
Yep.
And now here it goes on. People, organizations from Romania, Ukraine, Russia, China, among others, all paid Biden-related business and entities millions and millions and millions of dollars, with evidence indicating that now the president received a cut of all the bribes. The evidence includes that in exchange, the individuals received access to the then vice president. In the case of Ukraine, Biden forced the firing of prosecutor general who investigated Burisma, the company where Hunter held a broad seat, which allegedly paid Joe Hunter and bought Joe Biden $5 million each. Okay, there you go. That's just
$5 million each.
Yeah.
To add to this one, very interesting story out there from the Business Insider. New emails reveal that Hunter Biden asked for $2 million plus a success fee to help unfreeze some frozen Libyan assets. These assets were frozen by President Barack Obama. Now, while Hunter was doing this, he was not registered as a foreign lobbyist, but he was in contact with the government trying to what? Unfreeze the Libyan assets. And so here we have, they found these emails revealing this in the Business Insider, and it hasn't gotten to the mainstream media, Fox or anybody. But at the same time, they found out that Hunter took several people, including one of his Mexican business partners, for a ride on Air Force Two. They believe the other person was a Chinese member on a ride on Air Force Two. It's amazing that the information that's out there from these emails off of this laptop, the FBI has had this laptop forever, and, gee, they couldn't find any of this, and yet these different news organizations that dig take the time to go through these. Must be, you know.
Yeah, Joe, but how could the people out there listening get this information? Could they get it by getting our newsletter?
You know, a lot of this would be in our newsletter. The we things send that a, they don't want yeah. you to know, we try and put in the newsletter, and we send it out, and all we do is ask that you tell us you want the newsletter, that you give us your name and address clearly, and maybe a phone number just in case
something
we can't
read your
writing.
It's free. We don't charge. It's free. We don't charge for it. You can
right.
Easy way if you is to go to wrwl.org up on our website, and you can email us at wrwlministries@gmail.com. wrwlministries@gmail.com. Best way though is to just send us a letter. Just write, send us a little letter with your name and address written really clear on that, and we will get back to you. And your phone number, too, and that would be good. And then we will get back to you.
You guys have seen like my handwriting. They want phone numbers for some people. If your handwriting looks like mine,
yeah,
they can call and ask, was that a, you know,
okay.
an elephant or a two?
Hang tight, Joe. We'll be back after this.
Welcome to God's world. Start here.
Miracles start here.
He'll take away your sin.
Take away your sin.
Open up your heart.
Open up your heart.
Leave your fears behind.
Leave them all behind.
You'll be living there.
You'll be living.
His arms open wide. was for you and I that he was crucified.
Back and Joe, you know, when we talked about the newsletter, people that get the newsletter will often hear about these things before you'll hear about it, any of it, even on Fox News. But right now, we talked about how they used these vaccines, how they targeted people in the red states with these poisonous pokes. And so we're going to play a little clip there. Here in this clip, this lady is a doctor. She was a worked, I believe, if we had her, I played a clip back before, and if my memory is right, she actually did some work with Pfizer and that, but here's what she has to say. So take it away, Derek.
Have you ever wondered why some people seem perfectly fine after the COVID shots, whereas others are dropping dead or suffering debilitating injuries? Well, evidence has emerged that not everybody who rolled up their sleeve for a COVID jab had the same thing pumped into their arm. Young and healthy athletes in their prime of their careers are still dropping like flies, with LeBron James's fully vaccinated son Bronny suffering a heart attack at the ripe old age of 18. Teenage World Cup soccer star Linda Caicedo collapsing in training, clutching her heart. And pro-vax Premier League legends Shaka Hislop suddenly collapsing live on air. Every day the list of young and healthy athletes having heart attacks and strokes continues to grow. Despite what the mainstream media is determined to convince you, this is not normal. So what's going on? The globalist elite are no longer hiding their plans to depopulate the world. This is a multi-pronged attack, and we are now seeing what it looks like in real time. Before we dive in, make sure you subscribe to the channel and join the People's Voice Locals community to stay up to date with the community and receive exclusive and uncensored videos. A former Big Pharma research and development executive has come forward and admitted that her research revealed the industry intentionally turned some batches into rapid kill lots, designed to depopulate key demographics the globalist elite want to see gone. According to Sasha Latipova, a retired pharmaceutical R&D executive, COVID vaccines are having an enormously variable rate on adverse events because Big Pharma intentionally created bad batches, which were sent to certain parts of America and the world to poison certain types of people. If you thought the Great Replacement was nothing more than a conspiracy theory, you might want to think again.
I looked at the data, not just at the total number of adverse events and deaths, but also how the pattern of the data across manufacturing lots or batches. So all pharmaceutical products are manufactured in lots of batches. The lots are numbered. You can look at, you know, if you go to the pharmacy and buy Advil, you can look on the box. It has a lot number. So those are the lot numbers that can be recorded in various reports when people submit their reports. They're not always there because people who are submitting the reports, which is, you know, either patients, their relatives, pharmacists or doctors, healthcare professionals or nurses, they don't always have that information. So you may not remember what was the batch number you were injected with. You don't have your card with you, or the physician doesn't know. So, but in about 50% of the reports, those numbers are there. And so I was able to match those lot numbers with CDC lot numbers. I have a list of them. And I was able to see that not only the adverse events were high, but the variability of them by batch was extreme, absolutely extreme.
Explain that to me, the variability among them. Yeah.
So the variability meaning... how many total reports are submitted for a particular batch number?
Mm.
So some batch numbers had two or three reports, and some had 5,000-6,000. That should never happen. You should never. If you think about it, if you're buying, you know, Advil today, your experience. If you're buying it today and you're buying it a month from now, your experience a month from now shouldn't be 1,000% different, because that's really dangerous. Even, you know, if you think Advil is safe medication or aspirin is safe medication, or even if you're buying orange juice and you experience today and a week from now 1,000% different, that's going to be very dangerous. You know, one of those instances is very dangerous. So when you see a variability like this between batches of what is supposed to be consistently produced, good manufacturing practice compliant product, it means the product is not good manufacturing practice compliant. Mm. And I, as a comparator, because I didn't have a baseline for this and I didn't have information, for example, of the batch sizes at the time, I do now, and the story doesn't change. But at the time, I didn't, so I thought I should compare it to something known, and something known was flu vaccines. Mm. So I extracted all the data for flu vaccines from VAERS, and I looked how flu vaccine data looks batch to batch over a long period of time. And by the way, it's much more variety of producers making different size of batches. There are dozens of manufacturers of flu vaccines historically and different sizes of batches. And for flu vaccines, it looks as expected for good manufacturing practice compliant product, which is straight line, very close to zero. All the batches line up, and just very, very little variability, just a tiny bit. And then when you compare them to these COVID shots, that you can't even put them on the same graph. Flu vaccine data disappears because the COVID shots are variability is huge, absolutely huge, enormous. So I knew at that time, which was toward middle 2021, toward fall of 2021, I knew for sure they were not good manufacturing practice compliant. Hmm. So we have not good manufacturing practice compliant product being produced, shipped in millions of doses, injected in millions of people, including pregnant women and children. We have CDC and FDA lying and saying there is no signal at all. And this continues for a long time.
Sasha Latipova has done a yeoman's job in compiling deaths, injuries and illnesses and cross-checking them with their COVID-19 vaccine batch codes. And the data reveals some very disturbing truths about who the globalist elite were targeting with bad batches. Big Pharma and the CDC intentionally targeted people in conservative red states with fast-acting deadly batches of COVID-19 vaccines, according to CDC data, which confirms many people's worst suspicions about the depopulation agenda at the heart of US government. Private leaked documents from the CDC reveal a list of vaccine batch expiry codes, and only certain lots are included. Disturbingly, the CDC batch codes with expiry dates are the very same lots found to be highly toxic in Craig Pardicupi's How Bad Is My Batch database. This mode of deployment allows the government the ability to direct deadly batches into specific populations, such as red states. Analysis of the number of Americans dying per 100,000 people vaccinated in 50 states shows us that the overwhelming majority of vaccine deaths is happening in red states. The expose published a report of data found in the US government's VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, which reveals that 100% of COVID-19 vaccine deaths were caused by just 5% of the batches. These batches can be identified. And these batches were not distributed evenly. The 8 US states with the highest vaccine death rates per vaccination, Kentucky, Arkansas, Wyoming, Tennessee, West Virginia, Montana, Alaska, and North Dakota, are all red states. 19 of the top 24 on the list are all red states. And the state that has the lowest vaccine death rate from the deadly batches of vaccine? You guessed it, California. The numbers show that Kentucky has a 1,900% worse vaccine death rate than California, suggesting that the red state received 20 times the amount of deadly batches of vaccine than California received. The author points out that these deadly batches of vaccine would be better described as rapid kill lots and slow kill lots, as we are seeing more evidence that they also kill over time, and red states were targeted with rapid kill lots. But the globalist conspiracy against humanity goes even deeper. After this quick break, we'll expose exactly how the globalist elite plan to depopulate the world of white, conservative Christians.
All right, we're going to have to do that another time. But, Joe, there are people that are, and people that are, one person that was very close to me, and I told her, do not take that shot. Do not do that. And her response was, I trust my doctor. I said, don't. Your doctor's got no idea. Your doctor's doing what it's being told to do because, and it's got no idea what's in that shot. Well, she took the shot. Got very, very sick, lost most all her eyesight, and then she said, I wish I'd listened to you. I said, I wish you'd had listened, too, and so many other people out there, I wish had listened. We had a fellow and his wife come to a church here about 2 years ago when they first started putting them out, and not only did we tell him, we showed him, we had a film showing you about the dangers of these vaccines. on Sunday. On Tuesday, he took the shot, and on Thursday, he died. I had a death row inmate who I warned them, do not take it, because they were giving them extra food and actually $10 in their more in their account if they take the shot.
I said, bribing them to take the vax.
Yeah, I said, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And he did it again. Now, this was strange because he got the shot, two on a Tuesday, and two on a Thursday he died. Both of those guys died from blood clots, okay? Tremendous blood clots. But anyhow, you try to tell people you do your very best. And, I got a letter here.
I can understand, Pastor, because people have been brought up to trust authority. When I was in school, trust the policeman. They're your friend. If you get in trouble, they'll help you. And many people were brought up to trust like that, and it's just very difficult for them to believe that we have this wicked, corrupt government that would rather kill people off, would rather take your freedoms and enslave you so they can be in power, they can grow the government, and it's all about power, control, and love of that money and power. And
absolutely,
it's just hard for people to believe that they're that wicked, but they are.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's the same thing with these girls you counsel against abortion. Then afterwards, that's why they've got a suicide rate of seven times higher than one, than the girls that don't, get an
abortion. Right, but you won't hear that from the mainstream media or the, even Fox News, but it's been that way for years. I know my wife and I were at part of a crisis pregnancy center maternity home for many, many years, and we just saw so many women came in that had abortions, and they turned to drugs, alcohol, sex, gambling, had all kinds of mental issues, problems, mental, emotional problems. It was a mess.
Yeah, I have a couple.
I've seen it firsthand. I can tell you. I mean, they came in, over and over and over and over again. And the girls that had babies were happy, did not have those problems.
Yeah. We're running out of time here tonight, Joe.
Yep.
So it's about, how much time do I have there, Derek?
About 5 and a half.
Okay, Joe, you got about 5 minutes.
Okay, I'm going to do something a little different.
I'll give you a minute warning when you get down to the minute.
Okay. A little prayer that started with a couple of lines my grandmother taught me when I was a child, and I added a couple of things. I call it May. May the love of God surround you and give you peace. The presence of God watch over and guide you. The power of God protect you and give you his kingdom authority. The knowledge of God empower and sustain you. The mercy of God forgive you of your sins. The grace of God grant you salvation. And the Spirit of God to change you forever, so that you may serve him with joy, witness to his truth, proclaim his kingdom, and let your light so shine that all the world may know that you love and serve the Lord, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I pray this, or I've used it at church, other places, made me think, people talk, there was a hymn, a Baptist hymn called, Why Do You Wait? Why do you wait, dear brother, or why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in his sanctified throng. Why do you hope, dear brother, to gain by further delay? There's no one to save you but Jesus. There's no other way but his way. Do you not feel, dear brother, his Spirit now striving within? Well, why not accept his salvation and throw off your burden of sin? Why do you wait, dear brother? The harvest is passing away. Your Savior is longing to bless you. There's danger and death and delay. Why not? Why not? Why not come to him now? Why not become a child of the kingdom? Why not become a joint heir with Jesus in everlasting life? Why not become a new creation full of joy and peace and hope? The Lord told Nicodemus what he had to do. He had to be born again. Had to be born again. Have a spiritual baptism. Well, how do you do that? It is really simple. It's simple, but it must come from you, must come from the heart. You must be convicted by the Holy Spirit that you're a sinner. The wages of sin are death. And as a sinner, you need a Savior. Like the song, there's no other way but His way. It's heaven or hell. He's made this offer. If you call upon the Father and you repent heartfeltly, with, you know, a real, truly from the heart, repent that your sins placed His Son on that cross, you will be forgiven. And then you call upon the Son, call upon Jesus, and ask Him to become this Lord of your life. You accept Him as Lord. You accept His offer of mercy, His what He did, His substitutionary death, where He took your place. And then you ask Him, you know, to be this Lord and to give you the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that is your spiritual baptism, that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said He would send the Holy Spirit. I am in the Father in me, and I am in you. What? In you by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Then 1 minute, Joe. New. 1 minute.
Then you are, got it. Then you are this new creature. You are a new person, a new spiritual. You've had that spiritual baptism. And then you become, then you go and have a physical baptism, which is your outward and spiritual sign of this inward and wonderful grace that you've been given, and your testimony to the world that you become a child of the kingdom, a son or daughter of God, and a joint heir with Jesus, and you now have that down payment on everlasting life. It's a decision that each and every one of you out there must wait. Like the song says, why do you wait? What do you have to gain? You have nothing to gain by waiting, but you have everything to lose by waiting.
You're absolutely right, Joe.
We're guaranteed tomorrow, are we?
No, they're not. That's why they need to do it tonight, to repent of your sin, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. You must be born again. We are out of time again, as we come every night to this time, and we are just a minute away from August 1st. We say this. We say good night.
Good night.
We say God bless.
God bless you.
And then we say always, always, always keep
fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Hey, honey, can we talk?
Of course. What's up?
Well, I just thought you should know. I've been curious about the new Dr. Pepper strawberries and cream.
Have you felt this way a long time?
No, I just think I'd really like the taste of Dr. Pepper swirled with layers of flavor.
If you feel that way, I think you should try it, babe.
It's amazing. I mean, you're amazing, too.
New Dr. Pepper strawberries and cream. The new flavor you deserve.